Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I would now first like to ask her that wishes to make confession of guilt to arise and to answer the following questions. Do you confess before God and His holy congregation and that you have sinned against the seventh commandment? Second, do you acknowledge that this transgression grieves you? And third, do you promise to forsake this sin and the world and to live in a Christian way in the future? What is your answer? Friend, it is good that you are here. It is good that we may see you from Sabbath to Sabbath, here in the house of God once again. There was a time in that the prodigal, he left his father's house, and he left for another life. And there was a time, we read, that he came unto himself, and then he left that life. And he left everything that was about that life. Then you can imagine that he despised that life. And everyone could see in his life that that was a life that he left. And we hope that that may also be here in the midst of our flock, that we may see in your whole life that that is a life that you detest and that you have left behind. And that man came, saying, Father, I've sinned. And that man came, saying, I am unworthy. And that man came, looking for the lowest place in his father's house. And the reception that that man received was beyond his comprehension. And we hope that you may experience the same, not only here amongst our flock, but also from the Lord Himself. Congregation, receive this friend. There was also an elder brother, and he would not go in. He would not rejoice. It is true, he had not done what his younger brother had done. And that is good. But he thought that he was better, and that was not good. Then there was a father, and it was so different with him. And then he rejoiced. He said, this, my son was dead, and he is alive again. And he was lost and is found. And we have parents too here. And then they can understand what that father did feel. And we hope that it may not be only them, but each and every one of us. This day you may be seated. Let us sing Psalter 140, the first stanza. God, be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my youth. plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now, wash me, make me pure within, cleanse, oh cleanse me from my sin. First stanza of Psalter 104.
Scripture reading for this morning can be found in the Gospel according to Matthew, and thereof chapter 22, beginning with verse 23 to 40. But first we read the law of God. And God spake all these words, Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Matthew 22, beginning with verse 23 to 40. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, If a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said unto them, Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. That is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Thus far as scripture reading, let us together now read the form for the administration of holy baptism, which can be found on page 126. The form for the administration of baptism. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us, whereby the impurity of our soul is signified, and we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing and avert all evil or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son, the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God, through baptism, admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in Him and love Him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes, through weakness, fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism, for as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ, as God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. Genesis 17, verse 7. This also the apostle Peter testifieth, with these words, for the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2, verse 39. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith, and therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Mark 10. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant, and parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion.
That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to His glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of His church, and let us call upon His holy name. O Almighty and Eternal God, Thou who hast according to Thy severe judgment punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast according to Thy great mercy saved and protected believing Noah and his family, Thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led Thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech Thee, that Thou wilt be pleased of Thine infinite mercy, graciously to look upon these children, and incorporate them by Thy Holy Spirit into Thy Son, Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with Him into His death, and be raised with Him in newness of life, that they may daily follow Him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto Him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may with a comfortable sense of Thy favor leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ, thy Son, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. While the children are brought in, let us sing from Psalter 48, the 8th stanza, in the Lord's unfailing righteousness, all generations shall confess. From age to age shall men be taught what wondrous works in the Lord has wrought. The 8th stanza of Psalter 48. To arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end, and not out of custom or superstition. That it may then be manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments, and in the articles of the Christian faith, and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children when come to the years of discretion whereof you are parents instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. And what is your answer, Father Van Hagenbosch, Mother Van Hagenbosch, Mother Veni, Father Veni, Mother Oudshorn, Father Janssen, Mother Janssen. Parents, what a beautiful form we have. The older, that we become the more beautiful, and that that form becomes. It speaks in that form about two fountains. And the more we see of the one, the more precious, and that that second fountain becomes, conceived and born in sin. What a fountain. Do you ever feel something of that fountain? David spoke of that fountain. In Psalm 93, he says, The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. And then he spoke about another fountain. And he said, the Lord on high, he is mightier than the noise of many waters. Oh, the fountain of that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Parents, teach your children about these two fountains. The sign is going on their foreheads. They will never love that second fountain unless they may know of that first fountain. Teach them. Teach them when they are disobedient. And tell them about the fountain that is lying within. And tell them about that fountain that is without themselves. And when they are obedient, praise them. Yes, because Peter says that government, that they are, that is for the praise of them that do well. You say they will become proud. That is part of that first fountain. And they need to learn that too. Show them that fountain and point unto their forehead. And where that first fountain, and when it is threatening to overwhelm us, that will be swallowed up in that second fountain. May the Lord bless you with your children. Congregation, after the amen of baptism, we ask you to arise and to sing Psalter 425, stanza 5. Lucas, Jared, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Tyler William, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Juliet Dawn, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Hannah Marie, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask for a blessing upon this service. We hope to remember in prayer Dustin Grisnick, who has come home from the hospital yesterday. Let us try to pray. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins. Through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us. Through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech Thee through the same Son of Thy love, and that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they then may acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which Thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King, and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify Thee, and Thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God, and that we all together, in the observing also of Thy holy sacrament, may receive an encouragement to go upon our knees and to beg of Thee, that we may be washed and cleansed of all our wretchedness and our filthiness, and the corruption that is living within our hearts and that is coming forth from moment unto moment. And Lord, Thou knowest what lives in the heart of each and every one of us. Oh, when we are not kept by the power of God unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And then we would fall away. Oh, Lord, that we may be given by renewal to see a little, by a true and a living faith of that blood that has been shed upon that cursed tree, and that has been so freely given unto those who have sinned against thee. Oh, show to us what our sin is, not only unto her that may make confession of it in this morning before thee and the congregation, for which we may acknowledge thee, O Lord, but thou knowest that each and every one of us, that we stand in need of that same confession before thee in truth and in uprightness. Oh, that thou may bring us thereto, and that we may be given also to receive out of that blessed fountain the complete remission of all our sins and our transgressions. Lord, we beseech thee that thou may look upon us this day, when we are together in thy house of prayer, and when thy word and thy sacrament may be administered. Oh, that thou may give us strength to bring thy word, and that in this morning we may receive a little what is necessary in our body and mind, but also in our heart, O Lord, that we may bring forth things new and old out of thy law. But we beseech thee in a special way, that thou may look upon us, to grant unto each and every one of us that blessing that we cannot miss upon our short journey here below. Our bodies, they are bodies that can so easily be broken down and eaten away as a moth. Lord, thou knowest how frail that we are. All one day as the grass which is flourishing, and but then the wind bloweth over it and it is gone. Oh, that precious, precious time of grace, and that precious time of health, and that precious time of strength, oh, we are wasting it away. Oh, so concerned with the vanity and world, and that we have no desire after thee. Oh, could it be that it becomes different in this day, in this very morning hour when thy word is to go forth, and that thy spirit may bring it in the heart of young and old together. Remember the child, and that has come home from the hospital in the day of yesterday, thou hast made it thus far so well. And we may acknowledge thee, but Lord, thou knowest the road still that lies before that child. Oh, we ask of thee help from above, for the needs of his body, which only thou art able to give. And the doctors, they have put forth their best skill. But Lord, then it is so dependent now upon thee, for the healing of that body. Oh, remember him in mercy. And wilt thou supply for his soul also in this way? Or remember the young man also that had come home last week. And thou knowest where he is also in this day. Oh, grant him further healing for his body. And may it be a blessing in the place where he is. Lord, look upon young and old together. There are so many needs. There are needs of those who are afflicted and sick and those who are old. And there are also needs of those who have weak minds. There are needs of those also in our community that have serious diseases and have received messages that they have not much time anymore here below. Oh, the solemnity of our life. Lord, that thou may remember and that thou supply for them, widows, widowers, and orphans, wherever that they may be. Wilt thou supply for us this day in thy mercy, in thy house, that it could be at a good day to be together? Wilt thou send us a rain from the skies for the grounds, that they may bring forth what is necessary, food and drink for our bodies. Wilt thou send forth the rain of thy Holy Spirit in this day, that our souls also may bring forth fruit unto thee, that thy name may receive all the honor and all the glory. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 83, stanzas 2 and 3. While I kept guilty silence, my strength was spent with grief. Thy hand was heavy on me, my soul found no relief. And what follows, we make the following announcements. The Lord willing, on July 9th, Timothy Den Hollander and Rosaline Jansen hope to be united in holy matrimony here in Fort McLeod. On the same date, July the 9th, Tyrone Busicum and Ashley Vanderwall hope to be united in holy matrimony in Rock Valley, Iowa. Lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory. The Lord willing, there will be a male members meeting on Tuesday, July the 14th at 8 o'clock p.m. for the purpose of electing a deacon and dealing with the purchase of the property adjacent to the church. And the last collection today is for Bethesda. Psalter 83, stanzas 2 and 3. Beloved congregation, our fathers say that there are three things that are necessary for us to know in order that enjoying a true comfort we may live and die happily. What are they, boys and girls? That is our misery, our deliverance, and also gratitude. Thus, misery, the knowledge of that misery, that is preliminary. We have heard that. That is why our fathers ask that next question, that they say, whence knowest thou thy misery? And the answer out of the law of God. What is naturally the next question? That is, what does that law of God require of us? That is therefore the question that our fathers, that they are not now asking. Do we also ask that question? What does the law of God require of me? That is a most necessary question for each and every one of us to ask ourselves. That is why we read that law every Sabbath day. Because that law that is teaching us what God requires of us. Last time we said, if we would be converted, then take that law in your hands and read it and contemplate it and go from commandment to commandment. Why? In order that we may become a better person, in order that we may better fulfill that law, in order that we may climb that ladder of obedience unto God, in order that we may make ourselves to be pleasing unto the Lord? No. That is not possible anymore. Did you ever learn that? Did you ever learn that by experience? And yet to go from commandment to commandment in order that we may be uncovered thereby, and that we may need, and that we may see and feel that need for that fountain of blood. For that reason, in this morning hour, because we do not expect to be able to preach among you yet in this afternoon hour, we hope to consider together the last part of Lord's Day 2. Lord's Day 2, questions 4 and 5. Question 4, what doth the law of God require of us? Answer, Christ teaches us that briefly. Matthew 22:37-40. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Question 5. Canst thou keep all these things perfectly? Answer, in no wise. For I am prone by nature to hate God and my neighbor. So for our Lord's Day, knowledge of misery by the law. First, the requirement of the law, and second, the penalty of the law. The knowledge of misery by the law. First, the requirement of the law, and second, the penalty of the law. There is, congregation, one of two things that we can learn by the law. And that is our goodness or our badness. That is that law that either justifies us or that law condemns us. How can we learn this of ourselves? That is by comparison of ourselves, our life, and our heart with that law, with the requirements of that law. What significance does that have for us? Namely, our goodness or our badness. What significance does that have, whether we are justified by that law or that we are condemned by that law? Well, that is because to each of these there is something connected. That there is connected to one a reward, and there is connected to the other a punishment. Thus, if I am justified by the law, then I can look, I can expect a reward. Because Moses says, he that liveth, he that doeth these things, he shall live in them. But if that law condemns me, then I can expect and I can look for the punishment. As it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Our fathers, they say, whence knowest thou thy misery? Out of the law of God. Then you hear that they assume something, that they are taking something for granted. And what is that? That is that law that is condemning me. Because our fathers, they do not ask, whence knowest thou thy happiness? Whence knowest thou thy goodness? Whence knowest thou that thou shalt receive a reward out of the law of God? No. They say, whence knowest thou thy misery out of the law of God? Thus, the knowledge of our misery, that is a consequence of two things. That is, that I compare myself to that law of God, seeing that law that is condemning me, and the knowledge that connected to that condemnation, there is a punishment. Then I know my misery. And therefore it is so important that we know what are exactly the requirements of that law of God. Otherwise, I do not know if that law condemns me or not. Otherwise, I do not know that I am going to receive a punishment. Otherwise, I cannot know my misery. We, congregation, do not take the law of God so very seriously. We are excusers of ourselves. We do not excuse one another too easily, but we excuse ourselves. And that is exactly that picture that Bunyan has attempted to portray in his Pilgrim's Progress by that city of morality. That is what is going on in the heart of the natural man. And when he seems even to have left that city of destruction, and he is choosing another way, but it is yet not the way of the Lord. No, then a man, he begins to excuse himself, that he lowers that standard of God's law to a height that he can reach, that he may placate himself. That is such foolishness that a man, he says, peace, peace, then there is no peace, but that is now the deceit of our natural heart. That we have a desire to deceive ourselves in order that we may sleep at night. That we may go on in our way in this world. That we would not be so upset, children, young people. That we could live out and we make excuses for ourselves and we say, well, I am still a kind man. I am still a civil man. And I still have love in my heart for my neighbor. Honesty and uprightness before the Lord is so necessary for the salvation of our soul. That we may know our misery. And that we may seek and find that true deliverance. That fountain. What doth the law of God require of us? Christ, we read, teaches us that briefly. That is Christ. He gives here the sum of the law. Not a new law. Nothing different from that old law that the Lord has given on Mount Sinai to Moses, the Old Testament. No, it is that same law, but it is, in short, it is the main point of that law. And in that summary that the Lord is giving, we hear the standard. The standard that the Lord will judge every one of us by, that is a standard of perfection. The law is not gray. The law is black and white. When we do not reach perfection, then we have broken the law. And when we have broken the law, then there is for us not a reward, but there is a penalty. James says, whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. And when we are guilty of all, and then there is awaiting for us the punishment. That is just what that rich young ruler did not realize. Or he thought that he would be justified by the law. He was so mistaken. And the Lord Jesus, in a very practical way, he tried to show him that. Oh, what shall it be? if we, on the last day of our life, we will appear before a judgment seat of God, thinking that we will be justified by that law, because our whole life long we have not believed in the holiness of God. We have not believed in the perfection that that holy law requires, and that we have believed that the Lord, that holy and that righteous God, that He would, when it comes to me, He will look through His fingers at sin. And so to stand before that judgment seat of God, it will be awful. What doth the law of God require of us? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first and great commandment. Love. Love, that is the requirement of the law. Paul says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love, that is the fulfillment of the law. And love, that is in the first table, in the first place, to God required. And out of that love to God flows love to our neighbor. And therefore, that first love, that is called the first and the great commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. What is the heart? The heart that is the seat of our affections. The heart that is the seat of our desires, of our longings, cravings. The heart that is the seat of our inclinations. Thus, how is it? How is it now between the Lord and your soul? Is the Lord, is He now the object of all your affections? Oh, do you love Him? Does your heart burn for Him as it burns for nothing else in this whole world? Can you now say that this morning? Oh, that there is nothing, and that there is no one in this whole world that my heart loves more than the Lord. Because when it comes to men, the Lord says, as thyself thou must love him, but not with God. But he says, above all. That means above whom? That means also above myself. Can you say that? How is it this morning? We say we go from commandment to commandment. Now that is the first one. The Lord says, with all thy heart, even more than I love myself, oh, that I am ready. I am ready to die. I am ready to give my own life for the sake of that love that burns in my heart unto the Lord. Can you say that? And if you can say that, Oh, if you can say that. Then I ask you, look now, from the time of your birth. Let us go all the way back. Can you say that that was so? From the very day of your birth? And that there was never in my whole life a flaw concerning the object of my heart's desire and my heart's love. Never a moment that there was the smallest inclination in my heart to say with Peter, I do not know. Never a moment that my heart has faltered and that I have halted between two opinions. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Is that all? No, also with all thy soul. That is, with thy will, with thy purposes, with the motives and the intentions that are living within the heart. How is it? Is your will, is that now one, perfectly one, with the will of God? And when that will may be in agreement, in the days of prosperity, is it also perfectly in agreement in the days of adversity, in the days of affliction, in the days of trial? Have you never in your whole life experienced frustration when the Lord crossed your path? When the Lord did not allow you to go and to do in that way that you had intended and that you had desired and that you had said, when the Lord has stood in my way, in the ways of His providence, that my heart was immediately, that was so subdued and that was so inclined unto that blessed will of the Lord, that my soul, my will, my purpose, all that was so united unto that purpose and that will of the Lord. Was your end in every work of your hands, from the day of your birth even until this day, your end was that in every work of your hands to the honor and to the glory of the Lord. For the sake of that love that was burning at all times in your heart unto your Maker, unto your Creator, unto your benefactor, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Is that all? No. But we're going to sing first. 389, the first stanza. Lord, hear me in distress. Regard my suppliant cry, and in thy faithfulness and righteousness reply what follows in the first stanza of Psalter 389. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. What is that? That is our understanding. That is our perception. Oh, do we feel, in the first place, do we feel something of that awful reality that we do not know Him, that we do not understand, that awful reality that we have a darkened understanding? And does it grieve us that that darkened understanding concerns, in the first place, the knowledge of God? That we do not know Him anymore as we used to know Him. That we do not know Him as we ought to know Him. That we do not know Him as He desires to be known, in order that He may be worshipped aright. Does that grieve us? That indeed we are not able to love Him with all our mind and our understanding and our perception, because we have despised that knowledge in our deep fall in Adam, our covenant head. And if that now grieves us, do we now seek, with all our might and with all our strength, do we now seek to know Him? Even as He is revealing Himself to us in a natural way in the creation, but in a special way in this special revelation, His holy word of God. How is it? How is it, even with that imperfect knowledge, with that darkened understanding, that we may still receive from the Lord? Do we love Him even as we may yet be given to perceive Him? Do we love Him in our perception of His justice? Do we love Him in our perception of His holiness? Of His wrath? Do we love Him in our perception of His good pleasure? Also, when it comes to His decrees and that decree of predestination, and then not only of election, but also of reprobation. Do we love Him in our perception of His goodness? Do we grieve that we cannot rightly perceive His long-suffering, His patience? Do we love Him in our perception of His mercy, of His grace? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Say, that is enough. No. With all thy strength. That is now our actions. That is now our deeds. That is now every exertion, whether it be an exertion inwardly or an exertion outwardly in our life. How is it? Is every exertion of our God-given strength, because it is God-given, is every exertion of our God-given strength directed by and to the love of God? Thou shalt love Him with all thy strength. Do you never think a thought in your mind? Do you never speak a word out of your mouth? Do you never do a duty, a deed in this world, except that it is guided by that principle of love unto the Lord? Do you return every blessing that the Lord gives to you when He gives to you life, health, strength, food, drink, sunshine, rain, love, and on and on? Do we return every blessing that the Lord gives to us from the moment of our conception to this moment? do we return unto the Lord? How is it? Have your feet never turned out of the way? Have your hands never transgressed? Has your mouth never spoken an ill word against the Lord? Has every ounce of our strength been used to this moment, to the honor and to the glory of God? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Great commandment. Great commandment. How great this commandment is. God, our maker, our creator, our supplier, our benefactor. And the second, like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. How is it? We know what that is. Self-love. Not a man. Not a man, not a boy, not a girl. Is a stranger of what that is. Self-love. Do you love your neighbor with that same strength and force of love with which you love yourself? Have you never, in your whole life, and in the least inclination of your heart, passed by on the other side and hid your eyes from your neighbor? We have no more time to go on. Do we need to go on? Or is there not enough that our hard congregation can be smitten? Do we have any question in this morning whether we are justified by the law or whether we are condemned by the law? Is that a question? And if now our heart that condemns us, or do we not see that there is a consequence that connected to that law, connected to that disobedience, there is a curse? Or do you feel something of your untold misery without God and without hope in this world because of sin? Because the wages of sin is death. Separation, an eternal separation between God and my soul. Oh, why? Why would the Lord receive to himself someone that does not love him. That does not love him. Congregation, is there any question of our need for a new heart? A new heart, boys and girls? Or is there any question of our need for that fountain? That fountain. Oh, that fountain. Is there now not a man, a woman, a boy or a girl who does not dare to lift up his eyes to heaven today, but has to smite upon his breast and to say, God, be merciful. Be merciful to me, sinner. Oh, that fountain of blood pulses. The law entered that sin might abound. Oh, did it ever abound in your life? Sin abound. But he said, also, that where sin abounded, grace, oh grace, that did much more abound. Is that not unfathomable? That is so unfathomable. When a man sees sin abounding, how that is possible, that grace could much more abound, how that is possible. But that is the experience. When the Lord is opening that way, that fountain unto such a man, oh, let that sinner come then. Let that sinner draw near then unto that fountain. Oh, do not say, I will try to cleanse it. Is it not a fountain? It spews forth mire and dirt. It is uncleansable. Oh, let that sinner draw near unto that fountain. He says, wash it. He says, make you clean. That fountain. He says, come now. Let us reason together. Let us reason together. Oh, we have reasoned together for a moment this morning. We have reasoned together about our sin. And now the Lord, he says, come, come. Let us reason together. He says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Oh, that first fountain, parents, first fountain, swallowed up in that second fountain. May the Lord bless his word. Amen. Oh, Lord, what can we say? We do not see our sin right. Open to us thy law and all its requirements that we may meditate thereon. Show us our wretchedness. Show us our sin, our transgression, our corruption. because from the beginning of thy word to the end of thy word, there is proclaimed a fountain. Oh, then we need eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to understand. Bring us safely to our places. And wilt thou be with him who hopes to lead the service in this afternoon hour. Give us desire out of the love for thee to come together once again and grant thy indispensable blessing for Jesus' sake. Amen. 362, 1 and 3. From out the depths I cry, O Lord, to thee. Lord, hear my call. I love thee, Lord. For thou dost heed my plea, forgiving all. And what follows in 1 and 3 of 362.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.